Well, now to the results of new research that could drive you not to drink, or at least not drink so much in front of the kids. Is it okay to drink in front of your kids? Is the question that our next guest asked in the conversation this week in a piece about his new research into the intergenerational transmission of alcohol use. Dr. Sergei Alexeyev is a senior research associate at the University of New South Wales, and his research was published in the journal Health Economics earlier this week. Sergei, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thanks for having me. A pleasure to be here.
Now, your paper notes that to date, the evidence on how parents influence the alcohol habits of their children is anything but coherent. Could you give us a little bit of an insight into the lack of coherence that you were stepping into the minefield of with this research?
Well, yeah, that's one of the kind of rationale for this study is that, this is an important question, but previous studies, they use, samples that are not optimal for to really pin down the effects. And so in this study, I'm using like really big nationally representative data sets. So
This is Hilda, yeah?
It is, yes.
The massive research. So tell us exactly what you did in this study, Alexa.
Well, so it's a 20 years of data. And so the beauty of Hilda, it's a longitudinal data set. So you can see, offsprings residing with parents, then, leaving the household, establishing their own families. So we can really trace multi-generations. So this is the data. What really good is that, so we can see clearly that parental drinking matters mostly at two points in time. And this is about at 15, 17, and later on.
Yeah. This is the really interesting thing because you've made key findings about the ages when kids are most influenced by parental drinking. Now, I'm sure some cynical parents might say, there's any age where parents, where kids are actually paying attention, but there are particular windows of influence. And of course, this is sort of just by observation of parental drinking habits. So what are those ages? I think you mentioned one. What's the other one?
Well, so this was surprising to me, but this is when the later on, where it's whether you have your, in mid-30s, whether you have your own children or not.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of like, so the effect is 15, 17, and this is when, I think it's kind of predictable in the sense that this is when, teenagers start engaging with drinking kind of, purposefully. So they try to understand how to engage, how to feed that into the adult life. Prior to that, it's less relevant. So it's probably not being picked up, the habits. There's a bit of there's interplay between genders and whether you have your own kids. But my reading is it's kind of like a learning in trying to understand how to navigate a novel social context. So it's it's 16, 17, that's one stage, and later stage when you establish your own family for the first time, and this is, everyone is doing it only once in their life. And that's why they try to understand how alcohol kind of fits into that novel social context. And so people naturally kind of learn the lessons that they observed from their parents. So that's kind of my reading.
And you mentioned there these patterns of transmission are gendered, and they seem to be gendered in very interesting ways. Could you run us through your findings in this regard?
Yeah, so generally, the kind of broader picture is that they, from father to son and from mothers to daughters. And so, but there's an interesting asymmetry. So daughters never pick up father's drinking habits, but sometimes mothers affect, boys drinking. So sons drinking. So again, at those ages, 15, 17, there's a small effect. Again, probably because children just trying to understand what's the best thing, and they just kind of mix. They kind of don't follow gender norms. From the beginning, they kind of take a mix of those lessons from their parents, and later on, that's kind of an interesting, really interplay, which kind of really I was surprised. I thought it was maybe noise in the data, but once they grow up, so if they do not have their own kids, so they actually they pick up some of their mother's drinking. That was kind of interesting. Having your own children appears to kind of make you switch to your father's model of behavior.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very, very interesting. Now, Sergei, let's clarify here as well. The study that you've done based on the HILDA data, do these findings apply to single-parent households as well?
No, unfortunately, no. There's only so much you can say with one study. And for this study, I specifically excluded all the kind of, you know, edge cases such as single household. So these are, I guess would say, this is like a normal kind of drinking behavior when I only linked offspring to the parents, to both, if I see the both parents. So both parents I didn't. So it's like a when there is father and mother. And because there's a good reason to include both in for the data analysis, because then we can have like a causal interpretation. Because once you include really complex cases, then it's harder to interpret those coefficients as causal, then become more correlational than causal.
And what about, were you able to track differences between, say, blended families, so where the kids in the family aren't necessarily from the same parents? Does that make any difference in terms of those both age trends and gender trends that you've identified in your research?
Yeah, so this is one thing which kind of became obvious, is that I realized that HILDA does document whether your parent is a birth or non-birth. And so what I've done is that I realized that I actually have enough cases to see how transmission varies when you compare birth and non-birth parents. And what's interesting is that essentially it reinforced the key point, is that it's all about you can kind of like children readiness to accept the trait. So it's like for daughters. So essentially, it's not genes. And for daughters, mother to daughter pattern remain even when we have non-birth mothers, which suggests that learned behavior and family norms are important and not genes at all. And for daughters, that's like most pronounced.
Do you have a sense of the various factors that might influence drinking habits, how strong the parental modeling is as a causative factor?
Well, so drinking comes from any trait. Drinking in particular comes, we acquire those traits from like a lot of different places. Yeah. So it wouldn't be one thing, but in terms of just broad literature, the drinking transmission is significant. So what we get from the parents is relative to other traits, it is significant. So it's clinically meaningful. So it's a big effect. It's a big effect. Yeah,
That's interesting. And I know that the actual rates of alcohol usage weren't part of your research specifically, but in the conversation, you do note that there's been a really significant drop in alcohol use amongst 14 to 17-year-olds. I think it was about 70% in 2001 of 14 to 17-year-olds who said that they'd drunk alcohol in the previous year. But by 2022-23, that figure was around 30%. Can parents claim any credit for that drop? What's driving this big change, do we think?
Well, yeah. So these are massive societal changes. This is really interesting, and it's a separate kind of research agenda. Which my paper doesn't speak directly to that. But what happened is that once I finished the paper, I realized that I inevitably can say about those changes as well. Because remember I mentioned how as sons that don't have children, they resemble mothers drinking. And so females drink less. And so, but because we have kind of like a reduction in birth rates, so there's less essentially children. So it means that newer generation, this is like a very clear mechanism, is that so this transmission effect is a contributor into this societal slow kind of reduction in drinking. And that's one thing. Another thing is that, again, because we have a general reduction in drinking through all those policies, it kind of trickles down to newer generations. So intergenerational effects do matter in those kind of big societal changes, for sure.
And just finally, Sergei, in the acknowledgements of your paper, I noticed that you thank You say, my dear siblings, whose lives have been less fortunate than mine and who've been on my mind throughout the work on this manuscript. And you say, thank you for my childhood. This little work is for you. I wonder if you might give us a little bit more insight into what was on your mind when you wrote that.
Well, sorry. Well, yeah, so this is a big paper, and I inevitably learned from my own kind of anecdotal experiences. You know, and there's been a lot of things like that. You know, addiction is a terrible disaster. It could, you know, rip families apart. And you know, and sorry, I don't have an eloquent answer to this. Wasn't prepared, but yeah. So yeah, it's been on my mind. Yes,
absolutely. So. Yeah. It's obviously a significant thing, and has driven the this research. Do you intend to take the research in this area further now, Sergei?
Intergenerational effects is of interest to me. Yes, I would keep digging into that, because but I might maybe not into drinking, but in some other risky behavior aspects. Yes, I might look into this. Yeah.
Well. So. Thank you very much for talking about your research with us this morning. And I suppose I should ask you the question that's in the question of your conversation piece. Is it okay to drink in front of your kids, Sergei?
Well, not too much. Yeah. And not when they're actively looking for you as an example of how to manage their own drinking, which is 16, 17.
That sounds like very wise advice. Dr. Sergei Alexeyev, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
and
thanks for having me.
Sergei is a Senior Research Associate at the University of New South Wales. His piece in the conversation is it okay to drink in front of your kids? And his research was published in the journal Health Economics earlier this week.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.